Good evening. I would like to call to order the Shoreline Planning Commission meeting. What's happening over there, Andrew? All right, good evening. I would like to call to order the Shoreline Planning Commission meeting of Thursday, November 6th, 2025. Carla, will you call roll?
Yes, Chair Brinson.
I am here.
Commissioner Cabe?
Here.
Commissioner Frye?
Present.
Commissioner Hadley?
Here.
Commissioner Lynn?
Here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Mosier?
Here.
And Commissioner Povich is absent with notice. Thank you.
Excellent, thank you. Approval of the agenda. Thumbs up. All right, and approval of the meeting minutes from October 16th. Excellent, also approved. Now, is there any general public comment? Not related to our public hearing.
Nothing tonight.
Excellent, thank you. Moving on. Tonight's public hearing is on the Environmentally Critical Areas Code update. The purpose for this hearing is to obtain public testimony and for the commission to develop a recommendation to forward to the city council on this topic. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per person testifying. When the clerk calls your name, for either in-person or remote comment, please state your name and city of residence for the record before you begin. The process for the public hearing is as follows. First, the city will present its staff report, and then the commission will be given an opportunity to ask clarifying questions. Individuals will be given an opportunity to testify. After all the testimony has been received, the commission will begin deliberation and may ask questions of the staff or individuals who testified. The commission will then vote and close the public hearing. I now wish to open the public hearing.
All right, good evening, commissioners. Let's see, make sure I can be heard. My name is Elise Keim. I am the planning manager here for the City of Shoreline. With a brief staff presentation on the Critical Areas Code update for the public hearing. What I have in store for you during this presentation is a recap of why we're updating our Critical Areas Code, a summary of the process to date, summarizing some amendments that have occurred since we were last together in early October discussing this topic, go over the development code amendment criteria, and then move on to commission questions, testimony, and then discussion and a recommendation if commission so deems it appropriate. So first up, why are we updating our critical areas code? Cities in Washington State are required to have a development code that protects environmentally critical areas. This is a requirement of the Growth Management Act. And cities are required to periodically review and update their critical areas codes so that they are incorporating best available science. When we did our analysis of our current critical areas code, which was last updated in 2015, what we found is the gap was related to best available science for protection of streams and stream ecosystems. DFW, Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife, published updated guidance on best available science for how to protect stream ecosystems with the concept focused on riparian management zones, these areas around streams. So with that in mind, our goals for this update process have really been focused on updating the code to be incorporating best available science with really a focus on riparian management zones, as that was the big topic that had changed since our last update in 2015. And the goals of the code were to make sure that we uphold our environmental protection standards while still maintaining that flexibility for existing development. Additional goals included to reorganize and consolidate the code so that it was easier to understand for both review staff and applicants. The process to date, we have met several times in this forum with Planning Commission going over these introductions to the best available science, different approaches, and reviewing draft code language. Other outreach efforts that the city has engaged in has included updates to the Critical Areas website, an article in Shoreline Area News, sending out notice to public agencies, and a State Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, threshold determination. So the amendments have not changed tremendously since we were last together in early October. The approach, because the code is being so significantly reorganized and consolidated, the approach is to strike the existing SMC 2080, which is the critical areas code, to strike that in its entirety, and due to all of the reorganizations, replace it with a new SMC 2080. The new code really focused on reducing duplicative language, making sure that standards were updated, and to really streamline the review process. Substantive changes really focused around riparian management zones. Again, that's that area around streams. Focus on clarifying what activities are allowed in critical areas and clarifying and consolidating our critical areas report requirements. We also took a run at making sure we were really intentional about our procedural requirements and not adding additional time and cost to applications if it didn't result in necessarily an environmental benefit. So things like mandatory additional third-party review of critical areas reports that were prepared by qualified professionals, or requiring a critical areas reasonable use permit, which may ultimately result in impacts to a critical area, just with some additional steps. So the substantive changes to the critical areas code since we were last together in early October, these are provided in legislative format in attachment B of tonight's staff report. The language has already been incorporated into attachment A. So that's the latest and greatest version of the code is in attachment A of the staff report. And then if you wanted to take a look to see what were these changes, what's the justification for them, that lives in attachment B, but I'll summarize those for you right now. These updates came from recommendations from our consultant, from comments from agencies, public comment, as well as staff taking a review and making sure, like, oh, did we miss something in the code, or is there a more concise way that we could say something? So there's a couple of edits in there like that. So the substantive amendments, in summary, are to update the definition of qualified professional to identify who is a qualified professional to determine the site potential tree height. You remember that's how we determine the size of the riparian management zone. So who's the person who can make those types of determinations? So making that really clear. Clarifying that the riparian management zone is just the area around the streams. It's not the stream itself. That's a stream. but the area around the stream being the riparian management zone. We added some language and the recommendation of our consultant to, if someone's doing a demolition in a critical area, not planning to redevelop anytime soon, to have that area reseeded or planted to prevent invasive species from coming in. We took a look at striking duplicative language. We really tried our best the first time around, but we still found some that was repeating itself. So pulling those out, we really tried to just say it once and not have it be in the code in multiple places, because that can cause a lot of confusion. As at the recommendation of our consultant, we took out the specific descriptions of types of water. So this is if the water contains fish, does not contain fish, if it runs year round, or maybe it's seasonally dry. We pulled all of that language out intentionally because, wouldn't you know it, the state is updating that language and it's going to be effective in, I believe, March of 2026. And so in order to make our code a little more evergreen, we just reference generally the state codes, and rather than pulling in language that may ultimately be outdated in just a few months. We also, since we pulled out that water type descriptions, we decided to consolidate how we're describing riparian management zones. Rather than say for each type of water, it's a 200-foot riparian management zone, we just say streams have a 200-foot riparian management zone, because it's not relevant, the water type. It's all about that site potential tree height. And then we consolidated the enhancement plan requirements. We found it was living in a couple of different places. And again, with that effort to just say it once and not cause confusion, we consolidated where the enhancement plan standards are in the code. And then this approach was, final one was recommended by our consultant to, when it comes to a riparian management zone or wetland buffer that is physically separated and functionally isolated, so let's say you have a a road in between, and a stream is, you know, behind a house, and the riparian management zone extends onto onto the property that's across the street. Our consultant recommended that we not require a critical areas report, but to require an assessment of the ecological functions of that riparian management zone, but have the opportunity to waive it if it's very clear that there are no ecological functions being performed. And they just recommended that was a better approach than not requiring it and then surprising an applicant who did not have that scoped in their plans and then saying, oh, actually, you do need to get this assessment. So they just said it's better to require it and be able to waive it than to not require it and then surprise someone later. So those are the substantive changes that we saw since last time. Now on to the code amendment criteria. So anytime a development code is proposed to be amended, there are specific criteria that the code amendment needs to meet. It needs to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, so we cannot be in conflict with that plan. It needs to not adversely affect public health, safety, or general welfare, and to not be contrary to the best interests of citizens and property owners of shoreline. The staff report goes into more detail in this, but ultimately the staff recommendation is that the draft code does meet all of these criteria. And so staff's recommendation to commission is that they approve the critical areas code amendments and move them on with a recommendation of approval to council. And that concludes the staff presentation.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, any initial questions to clarify? All right, we do not have questions. I think we've talked about this quite a bit. Moving on, we will move to public testimony, Carla.
Okay, we have several people that are here for that. I'm gonna call your name and just state your name and city of residence, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
And the first is Laura Pesto.
My name is Laura Pezzo, and I am from Edmonds. I also need to say that these comments are my own and not as a representative of any group or government. Although I'm an Edmonds resident, the best available science on the wellhead protection area says that a portion of my drinking water supply starts as groundwater in the city of Shoreline near the Costco at 205th and Highway 99. I am opposed to the draft ordinance because it fails to even attempt to protect my drinking water. More specifics are in the written comments I submitted earlier, and I do thank whoever it was who confirmed receipt of my comments and also said they distributed the comments. So that's very nice, and I really appreciate that. If you do contaminate my water, I want you guys to understand that the effect of that has not only health impacts on us, but also has regional impacts for the Seattle water supply system and potentially for the state. There just isn't enough water for people, fish, and farms anymore, much less for green energy or AI or any of the accelerated growth we're now trying to achieve. So my preference would definitely be that you protect us and the city of Seattle. If we do have a contamination issue, we probably will get switched to the city of Seattle supply. If that happens, that leaves them less water for new growth, and it leaves them less water for drought resilience and other issues that may arise to the system as it's operating. And I know you guys are probably on the Seattle system, so I hope you care. And again, these comments are my own, and they are not as a representative of any government or group. Thank you.
Yep. Next up is Kathleen Russell.
Thank you. Kathleen Russell, resident of Shoreline, on behalf of the Tree Preservation Code Team. Appreciation to the Planning Commission for your detailed review of the Critical Area Code. Currently, the tree code for tree retention on critical areas and critical area buffers is 30%, while tree retention on zones NR 1, 2, 3, MUR 35, MUR 45 is 35% after removal of exempt trees. The 35% tree retention does not apply to development zones CB, NB, MB, MUR 70, TC 1, 2, and 3, where all trees can be cut down and no tree replacements are required. By definition, tree retention on critical areas and critical area buffers should be equal to or greater than non-critical areas. The current anomaly in the municipal code where tree retention is less on critical areas results from council approval earlier this year of 35% tree retention on private property during the comprehensive plan update. This code still allows that 65% of the significant trees can be cut down for construction and development. The critical area code was not under consideration by the council at that time. We understand the tree code is defined in SMC Chapter 2050. However, we ask the commissioners to consider including the specific tree code pertinent to, critical areas and critical area buffers in the critical area code to inform the public in that code that this specific tree retention applies to critical areas, as referenced above. The current requirement is 30%. We understand the discrepancy between the tree retention of 30% and 35% is not an issue for your discussion, as it will be resolved during the tree code update now in progress. Thank you.
Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, Commissioners, and staff. My name is Bob Danson, and I'm the General Manager at the Olympic View Water and Sewer District. We've submitted a detailed written comment for the record and with legal references and supporting studies. Hopefully everyone was able to receive those. And I'd encourage you to review it carefully as it outlines our full position and provides links to best available science, including our watershed protection plan. In summary, the Deer Creek Wellhead Protection Area buffer in Shoreline isn't hypothetical. It's a mapped Department of Health recognized part of our drinking water recharge area, and it is the best available science for the area. Under RCW 3670A030 and WAC 365-190-100, this area meets the definition of a critical aquifer recharge area, a CARA, and must be designated as such. Unfortunately, the draft CAO doesn't include this buffer. That's concerning, not just legally, but scientifically. The buffer overlaps with some of the highest risk areas, in our opinion, near Highway 99, 205th, and a commercial corridor with a car wash and a Costco parking lot. This is a risk to public health in general. And when it comes to contaminants like PFAS, distance isn't protection. These chemicals are persistent and mobile. Studies from USGS and Ecology have shown that stormwater infiltration is a clear pathway for PFAS to reach shallow drinking water aquifers such as ours, even from distant or delayed sources. That's why we're asking for one straightforward fix. Add a sentence recognizing the wellhead protection area buffer as a CARA, consistent with Appendix C of our watershed protection plan. It's a legally required and science-backed step to protect the community's drinking water. Thank you for your time again, and please review our written comment for full context. Thank you.
Hello, commissioners. I am Ruth Williams, and I live in Seattle, but I am representing Thornton Creek Alliance, which, as you know, is the largest watershed in both Seattle and Shoreline, and thank you for this opportunity to speak today. I've emailed you our point-by-point comments, so Right now, I'll just talk generally about the proposed ECA code update. First of all, our comments are based on the assumption that stormwater runoff and contaminants that it so often brings will be, are covered in your runoff, in your stormwater code, right? And don't really need to be addressed in the ECA code, which is why we didn't address them. But we can send in more comments. Let's see, the reasonable use discussion in your proposed update is thorough, but care must be taken to avoid its being overused. Best to keep this option within reasonable limits and require an application for a variance in order to ensure careful scrutiny of going outside the required the requirements. We cannot stress enough how important this work is in the health of each watershed in the city, as well as the receiving waters of Puget Sound and Lake Washington. And a healthy environment is key to healthy humans. Trees help everything. They mitigate climate change by slowing stormwater runoff, cooling and cleaning our air, and sheltering wildlife. Trees are doing the heavy lifting for us. Wetlands are not always well documented on private property. Some vigilance will be required to protect them. We appreciate your efforts in not falling for what's called shifting baseline syndrome or generational environmental amnesia, when each generation assumes the degraded environment they inherit is normal. Our shared goal is to create something better for those who come after us, and implementing the requirements of this proposed update should support that. Thank you.
That is all we have tonight.
Excellent, thank you. And I will thank you for telling us that you provided written comments. We have received them, and I believe they are also linked in the meeting agenda for others. I should have said that earlier. So now, commissioners, additional questions or discussion? Go ahead, Chris.
So I know we've received the comment before on the wellhead across the way, and I know we talked about the last meeting, but for my own recollection, can you remind me there was a reason why we've not acknowledged it?
Sure, absolutely. And I do have a little bit of an update on that. Earlier this week, the City of Shoreline met with Department of Ecology, Department of Health, and Olympic View to discuss the matter. And the agencies were clarifying their roles, and we were each sharing our understanding of what's required. And ultimately, the city's position is that we're required to update our critical areas code to be consistent with the Growth Management Act, and that what we heard from the agencies is that a wellhead protection area can be a critical aquifer recharge area, but that's not necessarily that it always is, that it's a completely overlap. To say that wouldn't be accurate because they're not synonymous. Wellhead protection areas, they have specific required components based on time of travel that groundwater takes to get into the aquifer, and they're set at specific distance rates of travel. The buffer that is at discussion here is an elective component of a wellhead protection area. It is not a required component of a wellhead protection area. So what's in Shoreline is the tail end of this elective buffer from a wellhead protection area. And it enters the northern boundary of Shoreline and impacts a few dozen properties. Some of them commercial, most of them are residential. But based on the meeting that we had with Ecology and Department of Health and Olympic View, city staff's recommendation is unchanged. This is a buffer to a wellhead protection area. It is an elective buffer, and it is not a critical aquifer recharge area. And our recommendation hasn't changed from that discussion. And ultimately, when we're all have a shared goal of protecting drinking water, right? Felt that the concerns that Olympic View has raised about maintaining healthy drinking water is that they are best handled by our stormwater provisions, which talk about things like treatment and discharge and collection and stuff like that. The other concerns that we saw when we reviewed the wellhead protection plan were things concerning making sure that inappropriate or potentially dangerous types of land uses like septic or lumber mills or landfills not be allowed in a critical aquifer recharge area, but we don't allow those anyhow, so we're trying to understand what the additional add is for designating it as a critical aquifer recharge area. Ultimately, our staff's recommendation is that to designate something a critical aquifer recharge area that is not brings in confusion when we're trying to bring clarity to the code, and again, with that requirement of consistency with the Growth Management Act being the target that we're trying to reach, and we feel their concerns can be addressed through other means.
Thank you.
Others? Nope. I have to find the question in my head. The question that Ms. Russell brought up about the 30% compared to the 35, can you just touch on that a little bit from our perspective, from the city's perspective?
So within the tree code, there is a provision that says that on those properties that are subject to the tree code, there is a requirement of 35% tree retention. And there's a little subparagraph that says critical areas 30%. And as Ms. Russell explained, that was just when council was making the update, the thought around critical areas, that just wasn't the focus. While yes, the critical areas code does have this lower retention percentage, what I would say is the standard in the critical areas code is not so much about the percentage of trees. It's the requirement of no net loss of ecological function or no increase in hazard. Like, let's say it's a steep slope or something like that, and you take out all the trees, that's likely going to increase the hazard, and that's not allowed by the code. So yes, there is this 30% sort of, I guess that's the lowest threshold, right? Is that if you can take out all the trees and still have no net loss of ecological function or increase in hazard, 30% would be like the backstop. I have not seen that in any of the critical areas reports that we have coming in. We're usually seeing much, much higher rates of retention because, again, the whole point is not some retention percentage. It's no net loss of ecological function, no increase in hazards, and that's really what the target is. So,
okay, thank you. And I know that we have 2026 and the tree code on our list of things. All right. Anyone else? Any other discussion? I'm now supposed to say something. Do you have a recommendation? Thank you.
I'll do it. I move to recommend to council the approval of the critical area amendment code, critical areas code amendments, excuse me, in attachment A of the staff report.
I second.
Excellent. Thank you. Carla, will you call a vote?
Would you like them to speak to their motion?
Oh.
Sure, I'll speak.
Thank you.
I mean, I think it's good. I know we've heard a lot of comments about things that would change or how certain things seem like they should have smaller buffers, but I like that we have consistency, especially now that, as you said, the state is adjusting their definitions. We're just treating a waterway as a waterway. And I like that that's more onerous in some ways. I do like that we've built in a number of alternate paths, not necessarily backstops, to getting around that bigger buffer with proof and things like that. So I think all in, it's good, especially with the removing of onerous extra language and just adding clarity to it.
A plus for code reorg. Okay, do you have anything?
No.
All right, excellent. Now that I have done my job after being reminded, will you please call a vote?
All right, thank you. Commissioner Lynn.
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Cabe?
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Fry?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mosier?
Yes.
Chair Brinson?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hadley?
Yes.
Thank you.
Excellent. Motion passes. Now I don't know what to do. All right. Moving on, do we have any unfinished business? Are you going to remind me to do something else, Carla?
No, I don't think so.
All right. And I need to close the public hearing.
Oh, sure.
I did it officially. Okay, thank you all for putting up with me. All right, now, do we have any unfinished business? New business? Tap dancing. How about reports and announcements? How about an agenda for our next meeting? You're not going to let me down.
Yeah, so agenda for next meeting, November 20th, we'll have an informational briefing on economic development in Shoreline.
Excellent. We will look forward to that. Anything else for the good of the order? I declare us complete for today. Thank you.